When it comes to liver pathology, many practicing pathologists find non-neoplastic liver biopsy interpretation challenging, as well as how to optimize the use of ancillary testing modalities, like special stains, to analyze liver biopsies. In this CAPCast, Dr. Robert Najarian will discuss this and other challenges related to liver pathology, as well as share suggestions to improve communication between practicing pathologists and liver specialists. Dr. Najarian, a pathologist at Boston's Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, will be teaching a course on this topic at CAP 17 on October 8th in the Washington, D.C. area. Dr. Najarian, what do you find is the most common concern practicing pathologists have about non-neoplastic liver biopsy interpretation?
Well, I find that practicing pathologists have a concern about not really giving as specific a diagnosis of liver disease as their gastrointestinal hepatology colleagues would like them to. And what's important for them to remember is that the key to liver pathology is really to come up with an appropriate description and categorization of the disease process that's going on. For example, is the pattern of injury that they're seeing under the microscope one of an active hepatitic pattern? So are the hepatocytes being damaged and ultimately undergoing apoptosis, or is it a bile duct focused injury that's going on, as in a cholangitis or one of the other specific biliary diseases like primary biliary cholangitis or primary sclerosing cholangitis? Or is there a lot of fat in the biopsy, a lot of steatosis, in which case you might be dealing with a fatty liver disease? And so just attempting to categorize that disease process appropriately is probably sufficient for your colleagues who are seeing these patients who get the liver biopsies. Making a specific diagnosis by looking under the microscope in most cases really can't be done and really relies on a whole host of other information other than what is merely seen under the microscope.
So what additional information sources do you consult prior to making final interpretation of a biopsy of a liver neoplasm?
Well, I definitely consult multiple sources before I look at any slide, and oftentimes extensive sources after I look at the particular patient's slide, not only in cases of liver neoplasms, but also with regard to non-neoplastic liver diseases as well. So the sources specifically are really at arm's length in the form of your laboratory information system. So I always consult the patient's most recent laboratory values, both values that may indicate an active viral infection or active autoimmune markers that might be present in the patient's medical record that really may lead me to a specific diagnosis that fit under that category of liver injury that I mentioned is so important to communicate. So helping to integrate the laboratory data you have within your laboratory information system with what you're seeing under the microscope is really the key. And if we're talking about liver neoplasm specifically, in addition to looking for evidence of things like chronic viral hepatitis that predispose to certain types of liver neoplasms, I also make sure that I consult the imaging data that exists. So whether the patient has had an ultrasound, an MRI of their liver, which may help to characterize that lesion that was biopsied in a more specific way and in a way that informs my thinking about what I'm seeing under the microscope.
Now, you talked a little bit about communication, but can you talk about the role that communication with liver specialists play in formulating your final diagnosis? And also, can you share some suggestions for optimizing the communication between pathologists and liver specialists?
Sure. So I think that the most important thing for pathologists to remember is that our hepatology and gastroenterology colleagues are our friends, that we can pick up the phone and have a discussion with them about the particular patient that we both are caring for, because those discussions oftentimes lead down important roads. So roads that may help to zero in on a particular cause of a patient's liver disease that might have a relatively nonspecific pattern under the microscope. So, for example, if I have a biopsy in front of me that shows extensive fatty liver disease, yet I'm having a difficult time with the laboratory data and imaging haven't led me to a more specific informative diagnosis or cause for that fatty liver disease, picking up the phone and talking to the patient's hepatologist and finding out that they don't drink alcohol, so alcohol can effectively be excluded as a cause of that injury pattern. They aren't overweight and have normal cholesterol levels and don't have high blood pressure. So being able to exclude those important causes of fatty liver disease is very important, and maybe ruling in something as simple as a medication like amiodarone, for example, which causes fatty liver disease that can look, for all intents and purposes, like alcoholic steatohepatitis, but knowing from the patient's doctor, their hepatologist who's talked to them extensively about risk factors for these patterns of liver injury, knowing that you can exclude the commonest causes of steatohepatitis, but include an uncommon cause like a drug as the ultimate cause of their liver injury. And as far as suggestions for optimizing the communication on a regular basis, you know, obviously you can't just with time concerns, and everybody is under a lot of time pressure, more and more time pressure these days. You can't afford to pick up the phone necessarily on every patient's case that you're looking at. So having a regular mechanism, an open line of communication between you as a pathologist and your liver specialist, like, for example, a multidisciplinary conference, a weekly or monthly even multidisciplinary conference like we have, our conference happens to be weekly. We all gather together in the same room and discuss those challenging cases together and hopefully help to understand the particular concerns and what each of us as caregivers for the patient consider to be important and utmost to provide the best patient care. So I find that multidisciplinary conferences supplemented by individual phone calls about particular patients really go a long way toward optimizing the communication and really lead to better diagnoses that we make.
Finally, I mentioned in the introduction that you are teaching a course on this topic at CAP 17. Will you talk briefly about how digital microscopy, whole slide imaging will enhance this year's course?
Absolutely. So this is a modality that I'm really excited about adding to our course this year. So myself and Dr. Keisha Mitchell-Richards are planning on using whole slide imaging and digital microscopy at the course, which will actually allow us to share some of the actual index cases that we're using as a foundation for the course with registrants prior to them actually walking through the door. So while a lot of attendees really like the video microscopy courses that we provide at the annual meeting, I think that something that we've learned is that oftentimes attendees might be intimidated to actually participate when they get to the course and would rather sort of sit back and be taught in mini lectures in a case-based format. And while that's certainly a valuable tool and to use and to learn, I think it's also quite valuable to bring in your own thoughts as an attendee to a course and really make that course feel a whole lot smaller as far as the number of personal tailored interactions that are able to happen between the attendee and the leader of the course. So we are going to release a set of digital images that will be available to attendees that they'll be able to review at their leisure prior to arriving at the meeting and arriving at our course. And then they will walk into our course feeling more prepared and empowered to really discuss not only what the right diagnosis might be or right pathway toward diagnosis is, but also to feel like they can have a discussion and add to other attendees' learning and not have it be such a passive process, but really an active learning experience and one that they can really feel excited about, just as we are excited about leading such a session.
Well, thank you, Dr. Najarian, for discussing these issues related to liver pathology.
It's my pleasure.
If you are attending CAP 17 in the Washington, D.C. region, be sure to register for Dr. Najarian's course entitled Pitfalls, Pointers, and Pearls in Liver Pathology, A Practical Approach, on Sunday, October 8th from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Registration is now open online at thepathologistmeeting.org. Thank you for listening, and be sure to listen to our other CAPcasts from the College of American Pathologists on our SoundCloud channel at soundcloud.com/pathologist.